Man, come on, let's praise God one more time. Give him a little bit more. Come on, you got more to give? Because he's certainly worthy of it, isn't he? He is certainly worthy of it. Woo! Many of y'all know this is going to be the most amazing, abundant, prosperous year we've had up to this point, spirit, soul, body, in any kind of conceivable way. But you have to declare that. You have to be in agreement with God for that, for your life. And, you know, when we talk about prosperity, we're not talking finances and resources. That's like the first step of the ladder. I'm talking about the things that, you know, that money can't buy. I'm talking about the peace of God that passes understanding. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord that is our strength. I'm talking about a God who can still my mind in the midst of a storm and can rise up in the midst of a situation and say, peace be still. That's prosperity. Amen. You know, and if you're looking for success in the kingdom, you know what it is? It's very simple. It's a three-letter word. It's called Y-E-S. Yes to his will. That is successful. You look through the word, he says, well done, good and faithful to those who said yes. That's a little mini prosperity conference for you right there. Amen. Come on, God is amazing. He is amazing, amazing, amazing. You know, and if you hadn't tasted to see that the Lord is good, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. Because we fully believe it. We're fully engaged in that. You can't talk us out of that. Amen. We done come too far, seen too much to go back now. Come on. And we know that there is more in store. The best is yet to come and being released even as we speak. Even as we speak. And if you don't believe that, then let me tell you about the goodness and the bigness of the God we serve. Amen. He is able. More than able. More than able. But it's not his ability. It's our ability to receive. It's our ability to receive. Amen. My merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I can't do blood jokes anymore because it's not politically correct. So she was so not brunette. She was so not brunette, she thought a quarterback was a refund. Come on now. She thought Meow Mix was a CD for cats. Come on. Hey. Oh, y'all going to be tough on me this morning. That's all right. It's all right. Well, I got some. How about a kid joke? They asked a bunch of kids, named the Four Seasons. Salt, pepper, mustard, and vinegar. There you go. So, I mean, it's sounds logical to me. I want to talk this morning something that we use it every single day of our life. No, it's not Amazon. It's not your iPhone or your iPad or the internet. I want to talk about faith. Well, I've heard about faith before. Well, we're going to hear about it again. We're going to continue to hear about it because faith is impactful in our life. It's a necessity for you and I as a believer. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The more we hear about it, the more we're going to be able to engage in it, the better we're going to be built on it and be able to run with it. Amen? But I'm not talking about just faith that our car is going to start in the morning or faith that the brakes are going to work. Or faith that that chair is going to hold me up when I set myself down in it. I want to talk about something that is divine in nature. Beyond just maybe the superficial kind of stuff. I'm talking about something that God has given to us, but we might not be using it at its fullest potential. I'm talking about the faith that changes situations, faith that brings God's power into our situations. Amen. We got to connect with that. We got to get beyond just the faith for stuff. We got to get to where faith intervenes into our lives and into the lives of those that are around us, and we begin to really engage. Faith is listed 245 times just in the New Testament, just the word faith. Romans 12:3, every man has been given the measure of faith. You're not waiting on it. You already got it. Now, again, are we using it? Probably, but are we using it to its fullest potential? Probably not. Probably not. I don't care how long you walk with the Lord. If you think you've seen all that there is, got some revelation for you this morning. Amen. Because you hadn't seen all that he can do and you hadn't seen all that he is. We don't have the capacity in this limited form to receive all that he is or see all that he is. Amen. He told the man of God, he said, if I were to show you my glory, you would not be able to physically handle it. But again, faith is something. But we have direct influence over that he has given us. We have direct influence. We can use it. We can misuse it. You can misuse it. We can ignore it or we can learn. We can choose to apply ourselves in it, and we can actually grow in faith. We can grow in faith. And that's really where I want to get to, because where we start at is not where we need to be and certainly not where we need to finish. Our faith is much like a lot of times God will use a physical body to relate things of the spirit back to us. You know, and just like muscles, you know, when we're born, we have muscles and things in our body. But you got to learn how to walk. You got to learn how to eat, learn how to control your muscles. Right? right? You know, I got a nephew coming up, and we, you know, it's pretty cool. We go to my mom's house every Tuesday night. We've done it since we've been married. It's the way we keep our family together. Now it's me and my wife and family and my brother and his family, and now we got the grand youngest, and it's just amazing, you know. And we do that, so we've been doing that since we've been married for 30, what year are we in, eight, but a seven, so 36 years. No, that was not a senior moment. How dare you look at me like that? When you've achieved this many levels of life as I have, I have so much information up here to process. It's like your computer. You ever see that? You know, you go to tweet or you go to do something, you see that little thing spinning. I had a spinning moment, but it was not a senior moment. It just takes me a little bit to catch up. Take me a minute to catch up. So 36 years, but we've been doing that. And now my nephew has I call him grandnephew. I get all that stuff confused. It's like second, third, fourth cousin. We all in the family. It don't matter. But he's sitting there, you know, he wants to eat and do it himself, you know, and he's trying to get control over that muscle, coordination, and spoon and stuff. And it's like, it's interesting sometimes. Man, he shoved a whole load of chocolate pudding up his nose the other day, and then he was blowing chocolate pudding bubbles. You should have seen it, man. It was like, it was cool and gross at the same time. It was, I don't know, it's like, that's a little bit of my world for you. But, you know, he's got the muscles, but he got to learn how to use them. You see what I'm saying? You know, so faith is like that with us. We've been endued with, but have we learned to control and use and apply that has been given to us? You know, we need to be in God's gym working out. Working out. Working out. You know, with this, so that we learn how to, you know, and just give you some of the things, because like you said, we can use it, we can misuse it, and I don't want to focus a whole lot on this, but we need to be aware. 1 Timothy 4:1 says some will actually depart from the faith. Even though they've got it, they choose not to walk in it, choose not to believe, choose not to receive, just walk away. It's their choice. It's their choice. 1 Timothy also says some have shipwrecked their faith. Shipwrecked their faith. How you do that? I mean, and we're not going to be able to cover everything that this has to do with today, but you can shipwreck your faith by believing for things that are not in God's will for your life. Because we hadn't sought His kingdom come and His will be done in my life. I'm still in that immature 2-year-old, throw a fit, sit in the line, cry till I get my way. God, that don't move God whatsoever. You know, what do we teach our kids when we bend to their will? Because God don't bend to our will. Matter of fact, it gets broke. Yeah. Little parenting 101 right there, just a little freebie on the side, you know. But if I'm believing for something that's my will and not His will, why is He going to answer or supply me with something that is not on His radar for my life? So I can shipwreck my faith believing for something that is unnecessary for my purpose. Romans 14:1 says some are weak in faith. Are weak in faith. Hadn't been built up. Hadn't sat in the Word. Got the opportunity, but just don't take advantage of it. Yes, man, in the day and the time we live in, man, I heard a pastor say it's amazing how the early church did so much with so little, and we do so little, yet we have so much. So much. Man, we got the Word at our fingertips. You got the Word on your phone. We got iPhone, iPad. I pay for my phone, iPad. Now, we got all kind of stuff. We need to be taking advantage of it. But what's the devil try to do? Occupy our time with other stuff. We got to recognize how the adversary works. He don't want you in the gym. He don't want you working out with the Word of God. He don't want you growing in this thing called faith so that now you are moving on levels and intervening in situations and circumstances like Jesus when He was on the bow of the boat and they all could have been at a level, but He had to rebuke them. Oh, ye of little faith, peace be still. That's like the teacher standing up and saying, y'all didn't get the material first time. Y'all should have aced this test. Y'all should have passed this thing. But here I got to show you again how to do what I do. That's why he says, you got to watch and learn from what I do, because I'm only going to be here for so long. I'm only going to be here to give you this impartation for so long. You got to get this. Faith. Faith. Goes on, it talks about 1 Thessalonians. They said they went back to the churches they'd started. Went back to because they said there were things lacking in some of their faith. There's some things lacking. Faith works by love. If we don't understand that, we're going to walk in a limited amount of power when it comes to faith. Matthew 14, Verse 25, let's dive in. Y'all good? I don't want to look back at the end of 18 and not have had any progress, not have moved, not see any success or any results. I want to be able to look back and say, look what the Lord has done. It's not him. It's not me. It's him in us. Amen. You know, we believe if we double the wells, we drill. Pastor Philip will be back sometime Monday. He went to Kenya, put a hand up on one of the wells that we had drilled. We're going to show you some pictures and stuff of that next week. I didn't want to do that without him being here so we can show everybody together at one time. I don't steal his thunder because, I mean, he's actually one who made the run and got it done. But, you know, we did 9 wells last year. I'm believing for 18. Faith. 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 It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith. It takes faith to get that kind of stuff done. Faith for finances, faith for resources, faith for the laborers, faith for favor with the government, with the, you know, with the things you have to deal with, and the things you got to go through, because we ain't in the USA. It's different culture, different customs. You got to have faith for favor. Amen? So I'm learning just like we all learning. Ain't nobody arrived. If you arrived, you beyond the pearly gates. Amen. And if we're unwilling to learn, you may as well go ahead now. Well, it just comes out. I don't even know where. Matthew 14, verse 25. Let me flip back a page. I'm in 24. Wow. Might need that brighter light up here on the top. 14, verse 20, I said 25, right? Said the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking on the sea. You know, he had been having a meeting and had dismissed the meeting, told the disciples, get in the boat, head to the other side. I don't know why we think when the Lord tells us to get in the boat and go to the other side that it's going to always be smooth sailing. You know, faith isn't to prevent all storms, faith is to see us through storms. Amen. You know, maybe we prolonged in a storm because we hadn't built up our faith. You know, so in the fourth watch of the night, y'all know the story. I'm sure you've been in it before, read it, heard it, or meditated on it. But it says they struggling, they rowing hard, but the wind is contrary, coming against them. He's walking on the water. He is strolling through the things they are struggling with. I want what he's got. Come on, I believe that's why the disciples said, you teach us to pray, because we've seen them do it and we've seen you do it, and there's a huge difference in the result side of faith, of those prayers, right? So we want to be doing things the way he did. And so if you actually read above this, he was up in a mountain and praying and came down. But it says as he's strolling on the water, walking, they get kind of freaked out about it, and I'm sure I would too. It's easy for us to Monday morning quarterback this and look back and say, man, they should have known. Yeah, right. We'd all been freaking out probably if we in the boat, we struggling, and he's walking on water. Don't see that every day. Matter of fact, I hadn't seen that. Amen? And Peter sees him and says, Lord, if that's you, bid me come, because he said, it's me, be not afraid. So what's the Lord going to say? It ain't me. He ain't going to lie. He says, it's me. Come on. I've heard this saying, but I don't align with it, and I don't really agree with it. I've heard about stepping out in blind faith. I don't see blind faith anywhere in the Word. He didn't step out on blind faith. He stepped out on the Word from the Lord. He had a direct Word from the Lord, a direct instruction from the Lord on what to do. Now, other people may not have heard it, and when you don't hear what they hear, then you assume that it may be a blind faith. Just like you see somebody move, and you think they're impetuous. No, they're just instant in obedience. You don't know the backstory. You don't know the other side of that. You don't know how long they've been meditating, how long they've been believing, how long they've been pressing, how long they've been pushing. All you see is they got an answer and they step. Man, that's impetuous. That's impetuous. Just like what they could have assumed about him jumping out of the boat. What's that fool think he's doing? I got a word. I'm out. Right? Now, they could have all heard it and had the opportunity. We don't know. And if we needed to know, it would have been in the book. But we do know one heard and one obeyed. But he stepped out of the boat on a word, not on blind faith. And as he's walking toward the master, says he got distracted and began to look at the wind and the waves. Began to get his eyes on other things than the Lord. And then he began to sink. And there's probably not a one of us that hadn't started out in faith and began to sink as we got distracted. Because the enemy is real good at getting our mind off of what we need to be focused on. You know, when he began to sing, now thank God he's a God of mercy and grace, mercy new every morning, because I know many times I have exhausted the previous day's mercy. I know y'all don't. Y'all looking pretty holy in here actually this morning, man. Y'all looking good. I need to be sitting down listening to y'all. But he begins to sing, and he cries out to the Lord. The Lord grabs him, of course, pops him up. They walk back together. But he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." You know, it took me a minute to catch that. That's this young generation say a minute. I don't even know what a minute represents. It took me a while, y'all. Had to read it and read it and read it and read it and meditate and meditate and meditate until you see something that he's saying to you. And it's not just little faith like a mountain. It's little as in short-lived, brief duration. It took some faith to get out of that boat. It took faith. It took a lot of faith. A lot of faith. A lot of faith. But our walk as a believer is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And we don't need starting faith, just starting faith alone. It's worthless to step out if you don't have enough faith to walk it out. Because he said, count the cost. Why would you start building and then not have sufficient to finish it? And then you become a mockery at the thing that should have been giving him glory. Faith. And I'm talking about a faith that's going to see us across the finish line. He said, oh, ye of short-lived faith, why did you doubt? You started off amazing. You started off superb. You were an example. You showed them how it could be done. Why did you let doubt come in? Why'd you let doubt come in? Why'd you let the devil, hath the Lord said? Isn't it amazing? He's walking on water doing what has never been done before other than by the master himself. But yet, come on now. I'm talking where all of us live maybe this morning. To be in that place doing what can't be done, but even in the midst of that. So I'm telling you, it talks to you and I about, because what's he saying? Keeping focus on Jesus. Jesus is the Word. So what do we have to do? I mean, we don't have him in physical form, in bodily form, but we do have him, I guess, in this sense, to stay focused on the Word. Stay focused on the Word so that we have the faith to follow through. Don't just start in that thing and not be walking through that thing. So why is it you have short-lived faith? And I just a long time and kind of a lengthy introduction, but I just want, whether we have left our faith, wrecked our faith, whether we're weak in faith, we're lacking in faith, or we have short-lived faith. How many of y'all in business know what a chapter 11 is? It's just a reorganizing, right? It's a reorganizing. Well, I want to do a faith chapter 11 for those of us who need to reorganize, reestablish, resettle, reconfirm, get some foundation back under us, because I don't want just stepping out faith. I want finished faith. I want finishing faith. I want a faith that's going to see us through, amen? And how can we talk about that without going to Hebrews chapter 11? Y'all good. Wow. Man, y'all on fire this morning. Hebrews 11. God, we got to know what faith is. And it's just like, I've heard faith. Well, let's just hear it fresh and anew. Let's hear it. Let's let the Holy Spirit speak to you and I about some things concerning faith. Because faith is so necessary for the life of a believer. 11 verse 1, now faith, which tell me is not for just tomorrow, it's for here right now. Now faith, it is a substance. It is a substance. It is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Evidence. It is evidence of things not seen. We need to understand that by faith, by this, elders obtained a good report with the Lord. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things we see were made from things we don't see. He said the things you see are temporal, temporary. The unseen is eternal. But we got to learn how by faith pull that realm into this realm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm talking about faith that'll override. There's facts, but then there's truth. And I heard a long time ago, you can be presented with a fact, but if the fact opposes the truth, and you take the word, the truth, and you attack that fact until it aligns itself with what thus saith the Lord. It's a fact. You can't walk on water. It's a truth that two people did. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? We got to get to where this faith, and sometimes, I don't know about y'all, I'm a logical person. I'm a habitual person. I know where I'm going to sit. I know what I'm going to order. I know what I'm going to eat. Kind of know what I'm going to wear, other than when the wife pulls out this crazy stuff. Monday through Saturday, it's all me. It's blue jeans, T-shirts, comfortable. You know, but Sunday, it's just like a little, you spin the wheel, and I don't know what's going to pop out the closet, because, man, that woman, God bless her, she can do it, and mama happy, everybody happy, so I'll wear whatever. I ain't wearing no little frilly stuff, but I mean, up to a point, you see what I'm saying, fellas? Y'all know what, y'all got my back, right? Up to a point, we're going to try to please, This world framed by the word of God. And we have to have an understanding of that, because faith sometimes butts heads with logic. Butts heads with logic. My bank account says, but God says. The doctor says, but the great physician says. And at that point, our faith has to rise up, grab a hold of that promise. As for me and my house, let the redeemed say so. Begin to declare things that be not as though they already are. After faith, Abraham, the father of faith. Who the Bible even tells us that his own systems and Sarah's being naturally dead came alive. Because he believed. He had a faith, right? He had a faith. So I said, he goes on and he says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch translated. So that he was walking with God, and God said, well, you're closer to my house than yours. Come on home. That's awesome. That's awesome. Goes on with verse 6 we want to dive in and really look at. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible to please our Maker. It is impossible to please our Lord. That's why we talk about faith. We're never going to stop talking about faith. Right? We're never going to stop talking about the blood. Oh, that blood's offensive. And that kind of sets people up. Good. 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 Because we're not going to stop talking about the blood. Where would we be without the blood? Come on now. Oh, the blood that was shed for me way back on Calvary. It ain't never going to lose its power. And I don't want to lose the ability of that power to affect my life. I can't clean myself up. I can't give myself a do-over. So why would I stop talking about what did and what does? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I don't want to be angry, but I am passionate about this, because I see people getting beat up by the enemy, by the adversary. And thinking they have no power, thinking they have no influence, thinking they have no ability and no say in this. That ain't what the word says. That ain't what the word says. We're gonna learn to apply this into our life. Amen. Because he said we're gonna have a life. Because those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, the faith I'm talking about and the faith, now the way we engage in it, this ain't no so Sunday morning, Wednesday afternoon, or Wednesday night stuff. I'm talking about an everyday lifestyle. Amen? We eat pretty much every day and multiple times a day. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't like to miss a meal. I just don't, man. I wake up hungry. It seems like I go to bed hungry. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm hungry. It's just like... But if I take care of this flesh, and I need to be taking more care of my spirit, because that's what's going to be here when this stuff is gone. Amen? Now, I know we need to take care of these temples. I know we need to do right by God. We need to eat right. We need to do a little bit of exercise. That's one of my things for this year, is try to do a little more cardio. So I did 4 more steps this morning, coming this morning. Y'all, come on, y'all, help me out a little bit. I told y'all, if y'all see me running, it's either T-Bone up there or T-Rex back there. But you need just to be with me. Cardio and I just, we're not really compatible. But I'm trying, I'm working on it. I do a little walking, and trying to, I don't know where I was going with all that. But anyway, We got to have this faith working in us because he's a real, yeah, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. We feed in the flesh. You know, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from that. You sow to the spirit, you're going to reap from that. Maybe we're not seeing spiritual results because we're sowing too much to the flesh. You know, that gym ain't your church. That, you know, that job ain't your church. Anyway, just give you a couple more things we need to understand without faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's one of the biggest hindrances to God's blessing in our life is because we're walking by sight and not by faith. We look at the job and don't believe God is bigger. We look at the situation, don't believe God is bigger. You know, we look at this thing and don't recognize the God of the thing. Don't acknowledge him as being bigger, able to influence, able to, now I'm not talking about, we have to steward everything that comes through our hands, amen? I'm not talking about just name it and claim it. I've heard that stuff. I've heard the perversion of it. You know, but people just walk away from prosperity. You're walking away from the hand of God in your life. But you need to understand we're blessed to be a blessing, and there's always a responsibility associated with every blessing. If we wasn't blessed, we wouldn't be drilling wells in Kenya. If we wasn't blessed, we wouldn't be doing work right here in town. And I believe in God, by the end of this first quarter, we're going to have a new building for new beginnings. So that we can have our impact in our city on a greater level. By faith. Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by faith. We can't even live the life that Jesus died to put within our reach if we don't have this level of faith operating in us, amen? Titus 1:13 says we ought to be solid or sound in our faith. Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God, which we need to be doing on a daily basis. Got too many people running around naked in the spirit. I thought that armor was just for kids stuff. You better suit up every day. Your adversary is. Your adversary, he didn't come to play. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you read through the armor, it says raising up the shield of faith that you'll be able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Maybe we got stung because we didn't have the faith in place. Maybe we got bit because we didn't have the faith in place. That shield that quenches those fiery darts. How about y'all? But yeah, I don't have this nailed down in every area, but we're striving, and we're working toward doing better every day. Another definition of faith. Faith is a strong or unshakable belief in something. For you and I as believers, it's the Lord. For you and I as believers, it's the Lord. Every man's been given the measure of faith. It's just people using it or misusing it. We got people in the world that's got faith. They just misplace it. They don't put it in God. They put it in their job. Well, that's not going to pan out very well for them. You know, they put it in their bank account. That's not going to pan out very well for them. They put it in other things that doesn't work out well. But every man has been given the measure of faith because you can't get saved without faith. You know, but it's a strong or unshakable belief in something. We have it in God. It's a trust in God. It's not just in God, but in his word, which are the same. His actions is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. You know, we can have faith in people, but never let that be above the faith we have in our Lord. Right? Right? Never let that be. You know, we need to have, if you can't trust your brothers and your sisters, I mean, we're going to be hurting. But never let that override our faith and our trust and our confidence in him. People are never going to be our source. Job never going to be your source. Nothing in this world is supposed to be our source. Ever. We look to him. We look to him. We look to him. Believing that something is true, not just believing, but then committing our lives to that. That's faith. That's the depth of faith I'm talking about we all are pressing into. Not just believing he is. Devils believe. Bible said devils believe. It's not enough just to believe. See, that's why my people destroy for what? A lack of knowledge. Lack of revelation. I mean, I didn't know I had any influence over this. Yeah, man, we better get in this word. We better find out what he's done for us and what we need to be doing now to be engaged with what he's done. Plant Vogel putting out a lot of juice, but we don't have anything plugged in the wall. We ain't receiving. I mean, we got a nuclear power plant down there cranking out megawatts, gajillions of whatever. Ain't no sense getting technical. We wouldn't understand all that anyway. But they splitting atoms and cranking out juice. How about that? That's we can all well, you know what we're talking about, right? But if you ain't plugged in, you ain't getting nothing. Even though there's a nuclear controlled nuclear explosion going on now, thank you, Jesus, that thing's controlled. Right? Heaven's got a potential gazillion times. But are we tapped into? Are we plugged into? Are we receiving from that source? Not just believing that something is, but then committing our lives to that, believing and committing. Again, it ain't blind faith, but when I have a word from my Lord, then we move. Then we move. It is a huge difference between waiting and hesitating. Huge difference. Huge difference in waiting and in hesitating. Once we've got the word, go. Go. But oftentimes we don't go because we don't have full confidence, trust, faith in the one who said, walk on the water. Come on, we've heard what faith is. Let's get a little bit about what it does. What it does. Abraham, of course, we know he came out from his family, went to a place that God had said, come on, let's just walk. Faith. Where are we going? Don't matter. You trust me? You trust the one you walk in? You trust the one you following? Sometimes we lack in receiving what he has for us because we're unwilling to follow, and we're unwilling to follow because we don't have the faith. I've been in Africa, gone on a safari. You better trust the guide because you don't know where you're going, and you don't know what's up there. And man, we was in there last time and we don't get to do it every time, but we're blessed to be able to go on like a little excursion thing, and we're in this like a, it ain't the big, reserve, but it's big enough. We're sitting in the Jeep, and it's a little Jeep when them big animals start coming around you. And we've seen rhinos coming, and that was pretty cool. And then we've seen the rhinos run off, and it's like, what scares rhinos? And there's a bunch of elephants, and I mean, they was biggins. And we're sitting in the Jeep, and it was cool, and then they start walking toward us, and not about it, you know, it's like, what are we going to do? And the guy said, just sit still. Don't make any sudden moves. Don't make any sudden sounds. It'll all be good. You better listen to that guy. And about 6 or 8 of them started walking toward us. And it's big old males. And they'd make us look like a little, you know, it could have got bad if they'd have chose to. And he said, but you listen to the guy. And when they got to us, they split around us in a group. And I could have reached out and touched them on either end of the Jeep. And I was just like, I'm going to have to change after this. But it's you know, is that too much for y'all? I mean, it's intimidating when you are, and you better be trusting your guide. Now, I'm talking about the one who said, light be. I'm talking about the one who sent his son to die for us. I'm talking about the one who the world hangs on his word. Then we better get to the place where we have a full trust, confidence in the we know by faith, Moses denied Egypt, went through the Red Sea. All the other faith is powerful, y'all. Romans 4. I want us to, we're going to be engaged in this thing called faith, this substance called faith on a level we have never been in before. Amen. We're going to be doing things we've never done before. Impacting our world on another level, on another level, on another level. Every single one of us. I mean, every man, woman, and child. Because this ain't an adult thing. This ain't a kid thing. It's a God thing. And our kids don't have no junior Holy Ghost. They need to be trained in the things of the Spirit. They need to know their authority when they walk them school halls. And they don't have to walk with their head down. They need to know they're fearfully and wonderfully made. They know they can. They need to know walking down that hallway, they can subdue demons under their breath and take authority over that classroom or over that schoolroom or over that field they're playing ball on and let their light shine and not ashamed of the gospel. And you and I, wherever we go and whatever's going on, and we're going to engage in faith till we... Romans 14, verse 17. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 17. 4:17 says, as it is written, I made thee, speaking to Abraham, a father of many nations, whom before he believed, even God in it, who quickens the dead and calls things that be not as though they already are. Now, he's painting a picture of how you and I need to be operating on our assignments in this life. Call it things that be not. We don't agree with what the situation is. We speak the word over the situation until the situation aligns itself to the word. Takes faith, right? We speak over that thing. We speak the truth into that thing. Speak the truth over that. I mean, the child may not be acting like they need to, but we're going to speak the truth over them. You have the mind of Christ. You're going to submit to authority. You're going to be who God says you are. Amen. We're going to speak over the marriage. We're going to speak over the relationship. We're going to speak over the job. We're going to speak over the body. We're going to speak over the whatever. It says, who against hope believed in hope. We're learning how faith not just is, but what faith does. Against hope believed in hope. It may look impossible, but my God is a God of impossibilities. All things are possible to him that believes. Amen. Got to get to that place. Got to get to that place. Got to get to that place. Well, we are, and we engage in this. Against hope, believed in hope that he would become the father of many nations according to the word, the promise that was spoken over his life. So being not weak in faith, didn't even look at his own body. You know, again, we can't let logic talk us out of a promise. We can't let our lack of ability override his ability to override our lack. Can't do it. Won't do it. Won't do it. Not going to allow the enemy to rob you and I of our promises. It's not just about us. It's robbing our children of their inheritance. It's now to be lighting a fire in every single one of us. I'll be lighting something up in us. Our children are going to have it better because of us breaking ground. Being not weak in faith, didn't look at his own body, nor the body, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Staggered not. Say stagger not. Stagger. See, faith doesn't stagger. When opposition comes up, doesn't stagger when a Goliath begins to war. Who is this uncircumcised, no covenant devil? Think he's going to keep a believer from a promise of God? Not on my watch. Not in as for me in my house. Amen. Come on, it's a faith that doesn't stagger. Mark 11. Yeah, we got to go to Mark 11. You know we're talking about a faith chapter 11. Got to go to Mark 11. We're learning how faith does, how faith acts in situations, how faith responds in situations. Mark chapter 11, and we know this, but we're gonna get in it and get in it and get in it until we got it. Until we got it. Mark 11, go up to verse 12. It says, the next day when Jesus was come through Bethany, he was hungry. He said, man, me and the Lord got a lot of light. And he sees this fig tree, you know, man, we had fig tree. How many of y'all have no even had a fig before? I mean, it's just, man, we got to expand y'all's horizons. Wow. Well, I just need to bring some fig preserves or something. And we'd have toast and fig jelly. And, oh, man, I got to quit talking about food. I'm getting hungry. He was hungry. He sees this fig tree afar off. It's got leaves on it. He said he's hoping to go get him something, get him a little fruit off of the tree. Yeah, it said, but the time of figs was not yet, but that's not what it's focusing on. What it's focusing on is the tree was presenting itself as if it had fruit. So he gets up to the tree, and the tree ain't got nothing. So the tree's actually a hypocrite. Because it's presenting itself as having fruit, but has none. You know, and I don't want the Lord to be looking at you and I, and we all smiling and yeah, and praise the Lord, bro, whooping our handkerchief in church. But on Monday morning when somebody needs peace and we ain't got none. Because that's fruit of the Spirit, you know. And he wanting to go pluck something off the tree to give it to somebody in need, and we barren. Can't be happening with us, amen. He's teaching us a lesson here about how we need to be engaged in the Word and believing that these things will flow through me as well. Because he answers the tree. You got to understand, the tree's saying something. Or it wouldn't say he answered it. It's saying, come here, but as if look to me. So he answers the tree. He said, ain't nobody going to eat fruit off you hereafter and forever. He walks on. Faith. Faith calls things to be not as though they already are. Faith ain't got to stand there and watch for results. Faith believes the results is already released. They come back. Verse 20 says, on the next morning they pass by. See the tree, fig tree dried up from the roots. One of his disciples calls, remember, and said, Lord, look at this tree that you spoke to. And he said, have faith in God. Another translation, I believe, a little more accurate, says, have the God kind of faith. What is that? When you speak it, it happens. We're made in his image. We're made in his image. God said, let light be. He didn't stop to see if it was. It was. God said mountains and earth and stuff be. Go back and read Genesis. You'll see what the stuff is. It's there because we're walking on it. We're living in it, right? He ain't said stop. That's why the universe has gone beyond what we know as our universe. Still, what's the speed of light? 186,000 miles a second, something like that. Yeah, still getting up. Because he ain't said light stop. What's cool is if you do studies on quantum physics and all right now, because, you know, even these people, so-called geniuses, they don't know nothing. They think they know, but they don't really know, because they said, well, the power, the strength of gravity ought to be so much that it ought to be slowing down the expanse of the universe. Now, I'm still getting up like God said, get up. Amen. You know, but see, only now do they have the technology to confirm what God said 2,000 years ago. Amen. Man, come on. You can't even look at creation and you can't even get in science and not see God. Unless you choose it not to. Unless you choose it not to. It's almost unbelievable that they're choosing not to believe. Have the God kind of faith when you say it, it happens. For truly, I tell you this, whoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, but shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says shall come to pass, shall have whatever he saith. Now, this isn't saying things according to my will. It's getting God's word, God's plan, God's will for my life, and then letting my word align itself with that plan. Amen. So that I don't shipwreck my faith. I don't frustrate my faith praying for things that are unnecessary for my life. But I'm praying on point, on purpose, for the things that God says he has for me to fulfill his plan for my life. Amen. That's why we pray for a drilling truck. God supplied. I'll supply all your need according to his riches in glory, because we're asking according to his will to get his work done. Boom. So it's a speaking faith. I have faith. What you saying over your situation? And if you're embarrassed to say it, I believe God's going to get me out of debt. How's he going to do it? I don't know. God's going to show me how. But if we're embarrassed to even say it, what's that say about the trust we have? Amen. Come on. Paul told Timothy, you got to fight the good fight of faith. There's got to be an element of fight to our faith. Element of perseverance. If you down in the first round, they don't say much about the fight that's in us. Amen. Amen. They don't say much about the endurance back to the longevity of our faith. We can't just step out. We got to walk it out. We got to walk it out. Look at Matthew 15:21 to get some of that. Faith stands. Faith speaks. Faith fights. Faith believes. Well, we got to be rooted and grounded with that unshakable faith. Rooted and grounded in faith that is unshakable regardless of what comes up, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance. God said it, I believe it. That's the end of it. That is the end of it. You won't talk me out of it. I will not be moved. We will not build on sand. We will find the bedrock of the word and we will build on the rock. And it says, he says, I'll build my church on that revelation when he talked to Peter. You are, come on, because he said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the one who said, light be. Your word prevails. On that rock, I'll build my church. And hell's gates, hell's governments, hell's schemes, hell's purposes, hell's junk will not prevail. He says, a wise man builds on the rock, builds on the word. But sometimes we're unwilling to build because we don't have faith in what we're building with. We don't have faith in what we're building with. But when we get in this word and see the bigness of our God, it begins to bear witness with us. Man, you're going to start building for his kingdom, for his glory, for his purpose. Ooh, man. Let's go to Matthew 8. There's so many times, I mean, and this, you can just do a quick study through the word. You know, he said, according to your faith, according to your faith. The woman with the issue of blood, you know, touched. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, it wasn't his faith, it was her faith in his ability. Amen. According to your faith. Matthew 8, verse 5. Says he came into Capernaum, and a centurion came up to him, a Roman soldier, not even a man of covenant, but a man who had understanding of authority. He said, Lord, my servant is home, sick of the palsy. He's tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come. I'll heal him. Centurion, he said, you don't even have to come under my roof. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But just speak the word only. Speak the word only, because I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, go. He goes. I say to another one, come. I say to a group, they jump. Yeah. I'm a man under authority, so I understand authority. What's he saying? He said, Lord, I know you're a man under authority. Your word has power. Your word carries weight. Your word changes situations. People respond. Things respond to your word. If I'm a man and this happens by the word of a man, how much more is my situation going to respond to the word of my God? Amen. That's why when we pray the word. We speak the word. We speak the word. Man, that Jesus marveled. He marveled. He looked at those that are around. He said, man, I ain't found this kind of faith. Not yet. I ain't found this in the church. I hadn't found this in my covenant folk. I hadn't found this in people who've been hearing about the word but not believing the word. But here I find this outsider. Come on, I don't care if this might be the first time you heard this. You can take this and you can run with this. That revelation just, woo. Hadn't found so great a faith, not in all of Israel. And he goes on, drops the 13, he says, go that way. As you have believed or according to your faith, be it done. Be it done. We got to get to the place where the word of our God overrides any situation, overrides any circumstance. It is more real to us than the world we live in. Is the word of our God more real than this platform I'm on, more real than the chair you're on? He said, heaven and earth will pass before one word will go unfulfilled. We got to press intentionally until, I mean, this ain't going to happen unintentionally. You don't accidentally fall into faith. You don't accidentally run a marathon. You train for it. Come on now. Success isn't an accident. It's a purposeful, conscious decision. But this is available to every single son and daughter, every single believer. This is not reserved for some or what you would perceive or think is elect. That's why he said, I've dealt to every man the measure of faith. Yeah, I thought that just for the, you know, them big guys, them pastors, apostles, you know, whatever. No, it's for every son and daughter. Every son and daughter. He said, these signs follow them that believe. It ain't to the elite because we're all elite. We're all elite. We're all elite. We're all elite. Ain't no some up here and some over there. No, sir, we're all on the same team. We're all in one body. And he said, ain't no part of the body shine more than the other part. Matter of fact, he said, the kind that shine the most are the ones you don't see. It's in vital organs. It's in vital organs in the body. You can't live. I ain't live without an arm. Not so hot without a heart, right? But you can't see it. You can't see it. That's why them people teaching our kids back there, that's vital organs. Vital organs in the body of Christ. These guys running these cameras and stuff that, you know, they might not get the pat. They might not get the recognition. They might not get the appreciation. But we got people that depend on these signals going out. We got soldiers all across the planet and people all over the globe that depend on this signal because it's life flowing into them. It's vital organs, guys. We got to have them. And that's like prayer. You don't see my prayer life, but it's a vital organ and I can't live without it. And every one of us, he said, every joint has a supply, every person. And if you don't engage in this to your maximum, we're living with less. We're doing without. We're not operating at maximum efficiency. That's why I'm passionate about every person engaging in this we call faith. And taking it to the next level. Making sure our faith is in the one it needs to be in. It's in the one it says when the guy went, he said, which of you would have a friend at midnight go to another friend and knock on his door and say, hey, man, I got some visitors. Come in. I need 3 loaves. Man, you better make sure you're going to the one who's got bread. That job will be gone. You know, any other sources may dry up, but you better go to the one you know has got bread. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, our faith should not stand even in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. In the power of God. Mark chapter 9. I know we got to get on with it. But I want to show just a couple of things that can actually help us grow in our faith. And this is not the end all, be all, do all, man. We just scratching the surface, man. You need to study this thing. You need to see what, Lord, what are you saying to me through this? What do you want me to do with what I've heard today? How can I apply this to my life? We'll pray that here in just a minute. But let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Then we'll wrap this thing up. Actually, we ain't wrapping it up. We're just getting started. You know, this portion of it, we're going to wrap up. We're going to go about our way. But I want us to continue to pursue this until he comes and takes us home. Amen. Because we're going to live by faith. We're going to walk by faith. We're going to move by faith. We're going to be people of faith. We're going to be sons and daughters of faith. We're going to be speaking faith. We're going to be... Mark 9, Jesus is just coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration, had Peter, James, and John. When he comes back down, he sees a whole group has amassed around and a little bit of a chaotic situation, because when he comes down, they come rushing up to him. And he says, well, what's going on, fellas? This kind of a little helpful translation, you know, because time's getting on, and I condensed the King James down so we can wrap our heads around it and move on. When they come rushing up, and they say, look, this guy has a child that's demon-possessed. And he said, I brought him to your disciples, you know, hoping that we get a little breakthrough here, hoping we get this thing dealt with. He said, but they couldn't do it. No success here, no results. And he says, you know, how long am I going to be here? How long shall I suffer you? Bring the child to me. You know, again, just telling me from the voice of the teacher in this, how many times I need to show you how to do what I'm doing, because I'm not going to always be here with you. You need to get this revelation, because after I'm gone, you still need to be getting up on what, you know, my example, my representative. So he said, just bring the child here. And it says, even when the child was coming, the thing began to show out, the little demon trying to get distracted and get a little attention for himself. But I love how the Lord just kind of shuts that up. And he says, how long, verse 21, speaking to the father of this situation, how long ago has this been going on? He said to me, how long are you going to put up with this? You know, you're tolerating what we need to be dominating. That's why we got to get engaged in this level of faith here. The devil's showing out way too much in our life. We're allowing way too much of this mess to go on. We got to subdue these devils, get them out of our life, get on about the Father's business. Amen. He said, man, it's been going on since he's been a child, you know, and it's just, he said, man, he tried to throw him in the fire or into the water, try to destroy him. But if you can do anything, oh my goodness, no, you didn't. I mean, no, he did not say that to Jesus. If you can deal with this, man, please. Man, please. But see, that just shows a lack of revelation. A lack of understanding in the situation. Because you knew who you was talking to. You know beyond any shadow of a doubt. He said it. It's going to happen. See what I mean about faith and how you just, do we have a complete trust and a reliance in the one who we're talking to? If you can do anything. There ain't no if when we're talking to the Lord about a situation. But look at who he responds. Oh, it ain't on my ability. It's on your ability to believe. It's on your faith level. Can you believe it? Can you believe it to the point where you receive it? That's powerful, verse 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. I love what he said here in verse 24, because it reveals where he's at. It reveals a level of humility. Then he understands, I know where I'm at, but I know where I want to be. I don't know about y'all, but this thing speaks to me, and I pray this many times. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I know where I'm at, but I know there's more. I know where I'm at, but I know how big you are. Or I believe, I have a glimpse of how big you are. I've had a glimpse of what you can do. I've had a little insight into what I know is there for me on another level for me. God, I'm here, but I want to get up there. I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, propel me to the next level. Launch me into that thing that you have for me. And Jesus rebuked that spirit and he left him. But then the teaching comes in, because the disciples come to him a little bit later on. They didn't want to get embarrassed in front of everybody, so then they get him alone in the house. They come up and say, Lord, why didn't this happen for us? Which tells me they've had success up till now. And we know this through the word. There's a place where he said, I give you authority to, you know, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You know, but they say, so we've seen this level, what are we missing? Is there something beyond where we are? Is there something more we need to be entertaining, not just entertaining, but opened up to, so that we can be walking in? Because we've done it here, but you up here. I believe, help my unbelief. And he gives them some instruction right here. Verse 29, this kind can come forth only by fasting and prayer. Showing them how to take their faith to another level. Showing them how to get into the gym, God's gym. And let the word get into them so that they're operating on another level. Because he said, I want to take you from glory to glory. Where you are is not where I want you to stay. Where you are, because I want to increase, he says, I want to increase your realm of influence. I want to increase your realm of influence into the lives of those that are around you, because he's bringing people to you that have never crossed paths with me. Matter of fact, I heard a guy just recently say, you may be the only Bible anybody ever reads. Or you may be the form of Bible they need to read until they can get revelation of this one. Come on. God wants to use you as an introduction. An introduction. God's calling card. He wants to flip you out as a business card. So you want to find out more here? Come check this out. Come check this out. See, all we do is we say, taste and see he's good. We make the introduction. Then it's up to them to pursue the relationship. This kind, by fasting and prayer. That's why we moved prayer into here, 9:15 to 9:45. That's why we're starting up men's prayer group. That's why we want people to be engaged in prayer now more than ever before, because it releases power. The effectual, fervent prayer of the power of the righteous man avails much, James says, and causes power to be released. You know, but we got to get into the Word. We got to be people of prayer and allow God to talk to us and lay aside stuff that's unnecessary and engage with the stuff that is. That's how I can say with confidence beyond anything I've ever seen or known, it's going to be the most amazing year of our life thus far. Amen. Woo, let's stand. God is amazing. God is awesome. God is... Again, let's just, for a moment, focus. Lord, we want to not just be hearers, but we want to be doers. Lord, we want to be doers of your word. Lord, you've given us, Lord, the Bible says it's incorruptible seed. God, you've entrusted us with treasure this morning because it's your word, and your word is treasure. Show us how to apply it. What's this word mean to me? How can I take this and use this to become the man of God, or have this fit you? How can I be better tomorrow than I am today? Lord, how can I operate on faith beyond where I'm at right now, so that you can flow through me completely and entirely as you desire? Lord, that so that no work of the cross was done in vain. Show me. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Show us how to be people of God, people of prayer, men and women of faith. God, so that we can stay focused on the things you've called us to do, fully equipped and ready for whatever comes our way. God, walking through life in such a way that others can see you in us. Father, I thank you for that. Let this word continue to speak long after this service is over. God, let it come alive. Let it become like a fire that Jeremiah speaks out of, that, well, we can't keep shut up. But we got to explore. We got to engage it. We got to learn about it. We got to grow in it. Because, Father, I know there is more for us, because there's more of you that you want us to see. Father, we thank you for that and the privilege of being called by your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Folks, we love you. God bless you. And I know there are a lot of great churches in the town and a lot of places you could have been this morning, but thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time. Have a great one.